Welcome to the today's edition of our series Parliamentarism in Central and Eastern Europe. Today we do have the opportunity to talk to Mr. Alexander Fomenko, a former member of the Russian State's Duma. Mr. Fomenko, the Russian democracy is widely described as managed democracy. That is, the influence of the parliament is weak and the power of the presidential administration is overshadowing the influence of the parliament. How would you describe the role of the parliament and the development of parliamentarism since the falling apart of the Soviet Union?
First of all, I want to come back to the term you have used, the manageable democracy. It is manageable democracy, much more manageable as other democracies in the world. But I want to remind you, the fact is normally not so well known in Europe and in West, generally speaking, that Russian parliament after the Soviet Union, the parliament of the Russian Federation, was really powerful. This parliament was called Supreme Soviet of Russian Federation. It was old Soviet name, but the legislature was already changed. And this parliament was elected absolutely free of any corruption. Everybody agrees on it. And this parliament was dissoluted by President Yeltsin. And this dissolution of parliament was applauded by Westerners, unfortunately, by democratic countries of Europe and by United States especially. And shooting on this parliament, as you remember, was shown by CNN throughout the world. And at the time, all these democratic powers and almost all of these of democratic political activists in Europe, except several, they supported this decision of President Yeltsin and this real crime. And I have to remind, because that for Russian supporters of democracy, it was real upset, it was a real crisis, the spiritual and intellectual crisis, because Westerners, which are supposed to be supporters of democracy, openly supported not democracy, but the military coup d'etat. And afterwards, a kind of cynicism towards Western attitude to Russian democracy appeared in Russia, and not only, frankly speaking, not only in the ruling circles, but also in intelligentsia, in some strata of population. We have to remember it. That's why now, of course, we agree that our parliament is not the parliament like somewhere in Switzerland. Frankly speaking, I think only Swiss parliament is a real parliament in nowadays Europe. Of course, even in comparison with actual European parliamentary democracy, our Russian democracy looks not so modern and not so sophisticated. But it's we have to remember that just 15 years ago it was the shooting of parliament in Moscow. Now, nobody can imagine it. Now everything is being done maybe under the carpets, but at least without using machine guns and cannons. There's a difference.
That's, of course, a great difference, and I think everybody will agree that there has been a huge stabilization in the Russian society. And the question was, how does the work of the parliamentarian look like? Do they have influence on the main political questions? Is the parliament a place of the main political debate in the country? For instance, in other countries, let me name Germany, the main questions of the country are being discussed in the parliament. Even here, we have a discussion on whether the discussions on the television are more important than the discussions in the parliament, but this is already seen as a crisis. So my question is the parliament the place where discussions which are of major interest for the public and the citizen all over this huge country, do they take place in the parliament or somewhere else?
I think last time the real discussions, real decision-making discussions in the parliament were held in Supreme Soviet of Russian Federation before the September-October coup d'etat of 1993. After this date, after this new Duma was re-established in Russia, the discussions in parliament were held, but the decisions were done not in the parliament, of course. And especially important date is the 1996 presidential election in Russia. It was the second crucial point. After this re-election of Yeltsin, not so fair, according to a lot of witnesses. And after that, of course, the presidential administration became much more powerful than it was in the period between 1994 and 1996. The actual system of managerial democracy, does not mean that real decisions are being discussed in parliament. In parliament, the members of parliament can discuss some problems, but of course decisions are being done not in the parliament. These discussions are very important, and I think that the actual Duma has the same place in the political system of the country as it was before the February Revolution of 1917, as it was with the first Russian state Duma of the Tsar time. This body was not the law-making body, but law-advising. The Duma advised the Tsar to do this or that, because officially, of course, they voted for the laws, but no one law could be implemented without being signed by the Tsar. Almost the same system, of course, a bit modernized, was created during the Yeltsin time and still continues to be, when, and even at the time of Yeltsin's weakness, when Duma could discuss everything and even vote for everything they wanted. These decisions, these laws, could not be implemented without signature of the president. And the same is today, with the one difference. Today, even discussions are not so popular in Duma. And when I was there, this was a bit more discussions, but decisions were done by constitutional majority, and it is now. Question is that it's a bit case like with, for example, Russia, where Westerners normally are a bit angry because of the results of the election, 80-90%. And people talks about some fraud, etc. But everybody agrees, including the foreign observers. I participate in the observation in Belarus as well, that in any case 60% of votes for sure are for Mr. Lukashenko and his decisions. A bit the same picture is in Russia, of course not so tough as in Belarus sometimes, but even the frauds which are being done here and there during election, and the last scandal, by the way, even in our rather weak parliament, was done by not majority, minority parties, which were upset by the results and by a lot of frauds in different places in the country. Even if we keep in mind these frauds, we have to admit that majority of voters voted for this party, United Russia. You know, I was always a member of the opposition during my stance in the parliament and now, so I'm not somebody in the game. And even our party was even forbidden by some legalistic tricks from the participation in the last election. But I have to admit that it's rather easy to manage the results of election and to change them, for example, in 5, 7, 6, maybe 10% even. But it's impossible to do it with 25 or 30%. This was a problem of Mr. Zyuganov's rivalry with Yeltsin during the presidential election. Maybe Mr. Zyuganov won election, not Yeltsin, but difference was just maybe 5-6%, and it was easy to suppress the results and to change them. If Mr. Zyuganov could win 25% more than Yeltsin, nobody could do anything. So the same situation is today. Unfortunately for me, the United Russia is still in power, supported by public opinion, not maybe because of the real results of their rule, but just people in Russia does not want any changes, because changes in Russia last 20 years, generally they have meant not the improvement of our life, but vice versa. No one changes started since Gorbachev's decision to reform Soviet Union. No one decision was done in favor of ordinary people. Of course, we intelligentsia, we got freedom of speech, more or less, and freedom of reading this and that, but it is not enough for ordinary people, because the standards of life are still very poor in the country, And our country, for example, is the only country in Big Aid, which doesn't provide its noteworthy citizens the normal housing, same level as it exists in anywhere in Europe or Canada.
There are two main points in the work of a parliament. The one is to provide a working opposition, which provides an alternative to the governing majority. And the second is to work, and this is a task for every parliamentarian, part of the majority or part of the minority, to work with the citizens in the constituency. In Russia, the system has been changed to an overall system of proportional representation, which of course means that the influence of parties is in theory very high, because the party list decides who will become a member of parliament and who not. There are no constituency where people are directly elected. Do people in the intelligentsia discuss this question of the electoral system, and how do they see it? Would it be possible even in a country as big as Russia to provide work in constituency for parliamentarians, or is it simply impossible because this country is so big?
Okay, first of all, of course, country is so big, but we have just 450 members of lower chamber Duma, and two times less in the upper chamber. If you compare the population, for example, of Russia and Germany, France or Italy, we in Russia have less MPs than Germans or French or Italians. I think the system of the last couple of years of Soviet Union, of Gorbachev and Soviet Union, was a bit better because we had so-called Congress of Deputies as a, let's say, low chamber with more than 1,000 members. Of course, they could represent the population better. Also, this new system of strictly proportional system doesn't provide enough opportunity for people to be a member of the real member of constituency. But there is another problem in parliamentarism, not only in Russia, but also in Europe, because who is the member of parliament? Does he represent mostly the members of the community and the constituency, or he thinks about the country as a whole? Of course, it's a dialectical connection, but the more powerful constituency is, does not mean that more intelligible, the better decisions being made by the MP from this constituency. You know, sometimes there are differences between interests of this local community and the interests of the population of the region or the country. It's a real problem. But of course, also in nowadays parliament in Russia, there is another problem, strictly technical. Our parliament doesn't fit the necessities of the real legislature work, real law-making process, just because we do not have, frankly speaking, even enough space in Duma to work there. For example, Russian MP has two assistants in Duma and can hire also three assistants in constituency or somewhere in the region from where he is, because even being member of party, he's elected somewhere in the former constituencies. And the question is that these two assistants in Duma, it's not enough, especially if we keep in mind that all of them, the MP and two his assistants, they share the same small room of maybe less than 20 square meters. And that's all. Of course, some MP who is also, let's say, the chief of the committee or commission or deputy chief of the committee, any parliamentary committee, has another room also small enough. But you understand.
That yes, sir.
It's not a normal. And if you compare it for the, for example, okay, Russians prefer today to compare them with America because we still remember our status of superpower. But if you compare the real working place of the member of American Congress and the working place of the MP of Russian Duma, you cannot compare it.
No, of course not. The German member of parliament has two or three staff in the place of the parliament and two or three in the constituency. But I think this is not the only point. The point is, in the German Bundestag, there's a huge administration and there are several possibilities to gain information. There's, for example, service for scientific support of the parliamentarians, and they can have independent information. They do not only have to work with the information they receive from the government.
That's an important point, by the way. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but it's a very important point. And I always advocated in the idea to create in Russian parliament a kind of congressional research service, not maybe as big as the United States, where they have 450 researchers and 250 employees, technical employees, but something like it to provide information for MPs. Now, of course, the committees, they have some consultants, the assistants, advisors, but not enough to work with every member of the committee. So to get information for the parliamentarian, it's still difficult enough. Some people, especially if some MPs formerly from business, wealthy enough to just to hire more assistants, they can get, of course, a bit more information. But it's not normal for the parliament. You cannot have such a kind of segregation. But today, especially at the time of crisis, our parliament leadership, let's say, the chairman of the parliament and especially also the members of the government, this finance minister, they always talked about necessity to cut the money spent on the parliament and on the, you know, government activity. But it sounds for me a bit strange having the parliament absolutely unprepared for normal work as a parliament. Also to cut spending today. And I think to improve the real role of the parliament, of course, we have to talk about the political changes. But at the same time, maybe even before it, we have to improve the opportunities for parliamentarians to work. Because even if tomorrow it will be a complete change of the situation and we'll become for a parliamentary republic, which I do not support and do not want, but in such a conditions, it is absolutely impossible for parliamentarians to really work, because to law-making process means a lot of work being done. And in 20 square meters room shared by MP and to his assistants, absolutely impossible to do something. You see, it's a psychological problem to put so many people. It looks like a bit like for famous Soviet time so-called communal flats, you know.
Yes, of course. In English,
yeah. Where several families lived in the same apartment. Mm. It's a bit the same now in the parliament. That explains a lot, by the way. That means that all our political system does not even think about the necessity to have the more or less efficient parliamentary machine. You see, I'm not somebody who advocates the parliamentary republic, because I think that a parliamentary republic cannot work in Russia at all. And I'm not also an admirer of complete freedom of the parliament. I prefer to keep the law advising body in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Because I explain why. Because remember, Mr. Yeltsin was elected absolutely free by the country, and all the decisions crucial for our country were done in 1991, 1992, by the people freely elected, and nobody intervened in the election. So I'm a bit skeptical about opportunities of the general public really to choose the necessary decision for the country. I support the idea for our country of this not so powerful parliament in comparison with let's say Italy, but powerful enough to influence the decision of the presidential administration. And especially after 15, 20 years of anti-parliament propaganda in governmental media, before 1993 coup of Yeltsin and after, because of different political reasons of Yeltsin's administration, the government-sponsored or government-backed media, and also Western-backed media at the time, they launched the propaganda against the parliament. First, because Russian people in 1993 election after the coup, they voted for example, in majority for communists and Mr. Zhirinovsky, liberal democrats. It's another point for our ruling liberal elite not to rely upon people's decision, because when just once in the period of Yeltsin's ruling after the coup of 1993, people was allowed to vote more or less free in December of 1993 to the first Duma, the majority was gotten by communists and by Zhirinovsky. All other people who could be majority, like different kinds of nationalists or populists, they were just not allowed to participate. That's why the communists and liberal democrats won. And at that time, presidential administration of Yeltsin, they created a system of check and balances by presidential administration. At that time, fully backed and supported by Western powers, Western democracies, by Western media, by liberal media in Russia, by all these democrats, by future enemies of Putin's United Russia, by everybody. Of course, at that time, the third of communists of Mr. Zhuganov or liberal democrats of Mr. Zhirinovsky, which was just a stupidity because these people are completely part of system, and they created the system. Of course, as you know, all revolution normally, it was kind of revolution, by the way, in parliamentarism, because to change, to corrupt parliamentarism, parliamentary democracy into the kind of democracy of Yeltsin's time, it was a kind of revolution, maybe counter-revolution. As all, and you know, all the revolutions, they start to eat the children. So all this another Russia or outer Russia movement against Putin, they were, of course, children of this revolutionary counter-revolution of 90s. And, of course, they've been eaten by this revolution. They could not politically work in freedom, etc. But remember, all of them supported what was done by Yeltsin and his people during the coup, after the coup, during the presidential election of 1996. And today, as I know, even Mr. Kasparov, fierce and ardent criticist of Putin, etc., he admitted now that, and his people, some of his people as well, that in 1993 it was a crime, the dissolution and shooting of parliament, and in 1996 it was the kind of fraud to change the results of the election. By the way, most important figure at the time of implementing such a decision was Mr. Khodorkovsky, now being in jail and considered as a political victim of the regime. But exactly this person, exactly the same Mr. Khodorkovsky, a lot to convince, together with other oligarchs at that time, to convince presidential administration of Yeltsin to suppress the results and to change the situation. That's a problem for Russia. We do not have here the heroes and bloody criminals. It's a kind of tragic situation. You know, you see, both sides are right. The result is complete disaster.
It's more gray than black and white.
It's completely Russian history. It's a real tragedy, not a drama.
Okay. Mr. Fomenkov, thank you very much for this insight into your thoughts on Russian democracy and Russian parliamentarism, especially, because very few information, real information, is provided about the everyday work of Russian parliamentarians. And, of course, this discussion is overshadowed by the overall development of Russian democracy and the stabilization of the presidential system in Russia. But thank you very much for your judgment on this question. I think you pleaded for better equipment for the parliament, better technical conditions for the work of parliamentarians, and nevertheless for the maintenance of the presidential democracy in Russia. And I wish you all the best for your work, and thank you for the contribution to this discussion about parliamentary democracy in Europe, which is provided on my website. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure was mine.
See you soon in Moscow.
Thank you. Bye.